And our text for this, the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And we will read from verse 10 to verse 24, which is the end of that chapter. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 24, where we read in the name of our Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, indeed we hear your word. And we pray, Father, that even as James instructed us, that we may be doers of the same. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word indeed is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. So we come to this last portion of the book of Ephesians. It kind of completes our whole series of going through this epistle. And again, we come to this point, which we began with in chapter 1, which is to understand very clearly that God chose us, that by grace, God chose to intervene for us, that God in his mercy, God looked upon us with mercy, God looked upon us with love, God looked upon us with grace, and he chose to intercede for us. He chose to intervene for us. He sent us Jesus. And this is ultimately the point that Paul is really seeking to stress, is to understand this awareness, to know this. And we're not here talking about just an intellectual knowing, but we're talking about an understanding that comes from the very base of our heart, to realize very clearly that God is with us, to recognize and know this. Because to know this is everything. Because we all understand in today's world, there's a lot of things that would shake people's certainty. There's a lot of things that would lead them to not be at peace. There's a lot of things in this world that try to rob us of peace, that try to steal that peace from us. And what Paul is really talking about is to understand, is to realize the God of peace is with us. The God of peace is for us. The God of peace is our God. He's our God. He is our keeper. He is our sustainer. He does not slumber, as the Psalms say. He does not sleep. He is constantly engaged in us and with us. He cannot do otherwise because he gave us Jesus to evidence this reality, that on the cross, Jesus would purchase our redemption, that he would give us life, and that we would have this life in abundance, that we would have this life in fullness. And it's for this reason that he talks about this armor. And it's fascinating. He says, finally, and this is just a Greek word that means this sense of, this is the conclusion of what I'm saying to you. He says, the conclusion of what I'm saying to you is this. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that's just a great statement. What he says is to be empowered. You understand that when we come into dealing with things, it is very important to recognize power, to know empowerment. Empowerment is a strange thing, but when a person feels empowered, it brings them to the point of virtual invincibility. When a person feels empowered, you kind of become like Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great never stayed behind his troops. He always rode right out in front of them on a white horse. Now, you talk about making yourself a target. You're a target. But he had this overwhelming sense of invincibility. And he won constantly. Hannibal, who threatened Rome, same thing. Never stood behind his troops. Was always in front. Always believed that he was invincible. He could not be stopped. That's earthly power. What does one do when one has heavenly power? And this is really what Paul is talking about, is to understand very clearly, be empowered in the Lord. Be empowered in the Lord. Understand, you're invincible. You're invincible. He says very clearly, the might of his strength is with us and in us. And you're not smiling.
You're listening.
Absorbing.
Because it's in us. It's in us. The power of God by the Holy Spirit is in us. He is with us right now. He's present with us. He is so faithful that he can't be otherwise. His risen Son speaks to us in the very heart. His risen Son addresses us in the Word. And the Holy Spirit confirms every word that comes from the mouth of his risen Son, who speaks to us to tell us that we were worth going to the cross for. We were worth his suffering. That the price of his blood was not too much to pay. So that we would understand the nature of God's commitment to us. And we would indeed, as Paul says, we would put on the panoply. That's this word in Greek. Panoply is where we get this word in English, a panoply. It means the entire armament of God. He says, so understanding this and knowing who you are in Jesus Christ and knowing what God has done for you, he says, then put on this entire armament of God. Put on the entire armament. And he says, and the entire armament is designed for one purpose, to be able to make us to stand, he says, against, really the King James renders it, wiles. Actually, this Greek word means schemes. He says, the schemes of the devil. What does the devil do? The devil tries to rob us of peace, tries to steal that peace from us. The devil tries to make us uncertain. The devil comes in and tries to make us more religious in a false sense, to drive us into an area of falseness, where, as a matter of fact, we cannot stand because it is not solid ground. What Paul is bringing us to is the point of understanding of where do we make our stand? Well, we make our stand fully in the person of Jesus Christ. We make our stand fully in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We make our stand in his peace. We understand very clearly that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And if we have been cleansed from all unrighteousness, then who can bring a charge against against God's elect, Paul says. It's God who justifies. God has justified us in the blood of the Lamb. So therefore we say to Satan, be gone. Get thee behind me. That's a lie. The accusations that you make are false. Because the blood of Jesus Christ avails for righteousness, even for the unrighteous. He makes us righteous. He makes us whole. He makes us blameless in the sight of God. And Paul says, this then enables us to stand. To stand. We now have the ability to stand. We don't grovel. We don't sit in fear. We stand because we are the children of the Almighty God. We stand, and we stand against the schemes of the devil, which means we oppose them. He can't do this to us. He cannot do this to us because I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that. He says, but we have to understand what we're directed against. We're not directed against flesh and blood. We're not directed against flesh and blood. And it's interesting that Brother Arvo's here today. My wife was reading me a Facebook post from him yesterday about dealing with our president and dealing with the issue of dealing with what's going on with our president. We have to understand. We have to have a heart of compassion. We're compassionate people. As Christians, we have compassion. We don't always agree with what everybody does. We don't always even understand it, but we have a heart of compassion because we understand our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against Satan. We're wrestling against evil. We are wrestling, as he says here, we're wrestling against these powerful beings who have this right to rule in the darkness, that live in this false spirituality of wickedness, and even in heavenly places. We understand very clearly the nature of our commitment, what the battle is, where the battle is. That's one of the most important things. And any, you know, any of our veterans here can tell you, there's no use fighting if you're in the wrong place. You know, armchair quarterbacks are a dime a dozen. You know, the reality of things is that the fight has got to be in the right place. You've got to be fighting in the right place. Our fight, the scripture says, is not with flesh and blood. Our fight is with wicked powers at the spiritual level. Our fight is with this wickedness. And Paul says, so therefore, he repeats this again. He says, you need to take up this entire armament of God. Why? So that you'll be able to stand, that you will be able to withstand, you will be able to hold up, as a matter of fact. You'll hold up on the day of wickedness. He says, when the wicked day comes, you will be able to stand up. And he says, and after that you have worked this to completion, he says, when it's all come to its finality, he says that now you stand. You stand. See, this is the hour to take a stand. It's the hour to stand up. It is the moment to stand up. It's not the time to be cowed by everything that's going on around us. It's the time to stand up. It's the time to know what we teach, to know the certainty of it, and to declare it. Because it's in these times, strangely enough, that God becomes the most active. It's in these times when things don't seem to be going so well, when things seem to be going in reverse, as a matter of fact. It's in these times that God makes himself known, that God manifests himself. How does he manifest himself? Well, he manifests himself in us. Then how are we to deal with this world? What do we do? Well, the last thing we do is attack flesh and blood. We bring to bear the full armament of God upon wickedness, upon evil. We stand. And Paul goes on to say very clearly, he says, so stand. I love this. This is highly redundant in Greek. It's really beautiful the way that he says this. He says, you know, the King James renders it, and having done all to stand. So stand, he says, so stand. He says, if he's done all for you to stand, he says, then stand. Yeah, stand, stand. Because you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Because the blood of Jesus Christ avails for you. The peace of God is upon you that stands against everything. And nothing, nothing, nothing can bring you to your knees. Nothing. The power of God is in us and with us. He says, so stand. People now are looking for the truth. And yeah, we are. You know, and we know we're not going to get it from the government. We know we're not going to get it from any other source. We aren't going to get it. Where are we going to get it from? From the Word of God. We're going to get the Word of God. We're going to get the truth. He says, where is that truth? He says, it's around your guts. And I'm sorry, Mom. My mom hated that word. But it's around our guts. He says, we're wrapped with it. He says, because you understand, that's a pretty vital organ. You get stuck with that in a warfare, it ain't fun. So he says, the first thing you have is the truth around your guts. It's protecting your lower parts so that you aren't carried away with all of this garbage that comes in. You know, the Jewish people believed the source of your emotions was actually in your guts, was in your kidneys. And so the reality is that you're bound with the truth. You know the truth. What is the truth? Your God reigns. That's the truth. And in him we reign. That's the whole book of Revelation, is to understand very clearly that we overcome. He says, you have on your chest. He says, your chest, he says, is protected with righteousness. He says, you know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all iniquity. So you have this chest protection of justice. You have been rendered just in the blood of Jesus Christ. By grace through faith, you are saved and rendered just. So that now nothing can rob that justice from you. You stand before God complete in him. And he says, and he goes on, and he says that now, he says, you have your feet wrapped. Literally, that's all this says in Greek. You have your feet wrapped. And the terminology is to understand they're wrapped like sandals. Your feet are wrapped like sandals. With what? He says, with the preparation of the gospel, the good news of peace. He says, so now you understand and you know the good news, because it's the good news that changes people's hearts. It's the good news. You understand, in our world, what Satan has done is he's flooded us with bad news. Everything's bad news. Everything is bad news. We're scared of everybody. We're scared of everything. Everything is bad news. Bad news, bad news. No, there is good news. There is good news in this world. There is good news because God's Son has given up his life and has taken it up again. And God's Son intercedes for us before the Father. And God's Son, through his shed blood, gives us peace. God's Son has reconciled us to God forever. What's going on in the world is we've got a bunch of people that do not know that. They do not know that. They don't have that peace. They're living with a falseness, and they've been misled by that falseness. We have the truth. We know the reality. And that's why it's on our feet, because how do you get around? And don't tell me a car. As we know nowadays, that's how you get around. But what he was talking about here was to understand how you get around. With your feet, with your feet. You go out and you engage the world with what? The good news. The good news. So the people would hear. that they would come to the knowledge of the truth, that they would repent. And that's what he's talking about here. And then he says, and with this, he says, you need then to have taken up the shield of faith. He says, your faith that says you trust in God, you know who he is. As a matter of fact, you know what he's done and that you abide in him. He says, you have this shield of faith. That shield of faith stops the fiery arrows of Satan. That shield of faith, because that's what he attacks. He tries to get you to think, well, maybe you're not good enough. You know, what makes you think that you're so hot that all of a sudden that God's going to be happy with you? And so many people you hear, that's what they ask, because they're sinners, and rightly so. They come confessing their sinfulness, but they don't understand very clearly the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all iniquity, cleanses us from every sin. We make our stand in that faith of knowing full well that even though we are sinners saved by grace. And a sinner saved by grace does not grovel but runs to their Father. Even as the scripture tells us, we come before the throne of grace with boldness. We openly come because we acknowledge. And Satan cannot stand against that. He has no place to stand. He can't make any accusation. The shield of faith puts out the fiery darts of the devil, ends them. And he says, then with this, it's like every time you go through this, you think, well, man, that would be enough. And then all of a sudden he says, all the more. He says, you have head protection. You need head protection too. He says, so you have a helmet of salvation to understand that you are saved. That as a matter of fact, and that you can trust in that. You can believe God to save you. You know, Paul says that he's not ashamed of the gospel because he understands right away, what is that gospel? Well, the gospel is his salvation. That's the reality of things. That's what our head needs to be filled with, he's saying. Your head needs to be filled with this understanding of your salvation. You have been saved. You are a child of God. And as a matter of fact, there is no power, nothing that can undo that work of God. That work of God has now been finished in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's peace. That's peace. There is no other peace like that. That's peace. That brings us to certainty. And he says, together with this, then, we take up this word of God. He says, this is the sword of the Spirit. He says, this word of God, it's the only weapon we have. In all of this armament, it's the only weapon. He says very clearly, he says, well, what do we go forth against our enemies with? Not earthly weapons. We go to our enemies with the word of God. We preach the truth. We stand in the truth. We make our stand in the truth. And our enemies cannot overcome it. They've tried for years. But it's only where they keep the blindness on people that it succeeds. Only where the darkness is. Where this word is preached and where it comes forth, it drives out the darkness and it brings in light. And the light enlightens everything. And this is why it becomes so important that as we come to the end of this, that we understand this. God chose us. That's the whole point of this epistle. God chose us. In his grace and his mercy, God chose us. He no longer sees us in any other way according to the things of the flesh. That's the whole thing of this epistle, is to understand that God sees us righteous in Jesus Christ. God sees us in Jesus Christ, knows us in Jesus Christ. He looks upon our world, and that's the way he looks at it. Famous preacher over in Sweden, Henrik Schartau, he preached this great sermon where he simply says, he says very clearly, he says, there was this vision that came to him where he saw this world in darkness. And he said, and all of a sudden there was this great cross, this huge cross, this lighting cross. And that light of that cross went across the whole world and drove out that darkness. And he went into this town in Sweden, Lund, that was full of sailors. And sailors didn't have the best reputation. And they were really bad, you know, everything was bad there. And all of a sudden he went in there preaching the gospel, and before you know it, he had won Lund. This is what he's talking about here, is to understand we need to take this sword of the Spirit. We need to take this word of God. We can't be cowed. And we need to bring it wherever we are. We need to share it, the reality of it. Because wherever it goes, it brings light. It brings power. It enlightens even the darkest heart. And he says, finally, together with this, he says, then we pray. Oh my goodness, we pray, we pray, we pray, we pray. People will run around saying, you know, I look at how evil the world is, and then they throw up their hands. What are you going to do about it? Pray, pray, you pray, you pray. He's talking about Rome here. Rome was a cesspool. He says very clearly, you pray. He says, you pray always with all prayer and supplication. He says, this is what you do. He says, you pray every season. And every season is what this says in Greek. He says, you pray in every season with the Spirit. And he says, even sleeplessly. That's what this means in Greek. He says, sometimes you don't go to sleep. He says, sometimes you just keep praying. He says, you pray. He says, you do this with perseverance and supplication. He says, concerning all the consecrated ones. He says, everyone that belongs to Jesus Christ. And you understand, this is the Apostle Paul. It's the Apostle Paul. And you recognize his humility. He says, and for me. He says, you pray for me. See, there is no Christian in the world that's above this need for prayer. We pray for all of the saints. We pray for all of those who name the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for the entire world. We pray for even those who do not know Jesus Christ. We pray for every one of them. Because every life is precious before God, and God gave his Son for every one of those lives. We pray, we pray, we pray. And sometimes we don't sleep. We've all had those nights where you wake up and all of a sudden you're like, I can't go back to sleep. What do? Pray, pray. That's a call to prayer. Then pray, pray. And what does he ask for? He doesn't ask for anything personal. He says, pray, pray for me to have the boldness to speak what I need to speak. He says, pray. Pray for that. He says, so that whenever I speak, he says, with openness, I would make known the secret of the good news. He says, for which I'm doing an ambassador's job in chains, so that with it, I would be open to speak as I must. In today's world, that's what we need to hear. We need our voice to be heard. We need our voice to be speaking. Sometimes we're going to use words, but we need to be speaking. The world needs to see us for what we believe and what we know. We need to be the ones who can bring the compassion of God. We need to understand. We understand people's failings. I've told you before, that's the one thing I can understand. I can understand failing because, boy, I've had plenty of it. You know, when you sit down and you think about failing, if people want to talk about, well, what's the experience of your life? Well, I can tell you that one. I've experienced that. Failing is just there. It's just a consistent thing. The reality of things is to understand very clearly, when we approach people in their failings, we can give them hope. We can give them something different. We can give them a renewed sense of goodness and value and reality through Jesus Christ so that they understand their failing may not have them. Your failing can't have you. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're thinking today that you're too great a sinner, if you're thinking today that you've done too much, if you're thinking in that way, sadly, you are thinking wrongly because the blood of Jesus Christ avails for you. The blood of Jesus Christ counts for you. The blood of Jesus Christ takes away the sin of the world, and that includes yours, every last one. Every one of them is under the blood by the power of Jesus Christ. And this is the reality of what Paul is talking about. We need to go into the world. I just need to be able to speak. He says, I just need to be able to tell that to people. I need to be able to assure them. Even the people in this rotten Roman Empire, I have to be able to tell them the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses them from all iniquity. And 250 years hence, he got his wish because the Roman Empire was converted. Satan lies. That's what he does. He lies. He deceives us into thinking that somehow that we failed, instead of understanding full well that we can't fail because the blood of Jesus Christ is upon us and we are pure and holy in his sight. We cannot fail. And this is where he comes to this point of understanding. This is how I ought to speak. He says, this is the only way I can speak. I have to speak with this type of boldness. I have to convey this to the people around me. I have to do this. Even though, as he says, even though I'm in prison, says, even though I'm in prison, he says, this is what I have to do. And this is where we have to come in this world, is to realize the power of this gospel. It's to understand the power that is within us, to understand what has been presented to us, the great gift that we hold, that in a graceless age, we, by God's grace, can be gracious. That in an age that loses hope, we, as a matter of fact, can bring hope. In an age that fails because of faithlessness, we can speak faith into the world by the word of God. And by the power of God's Holy Spirit, we cannot fail. We cannot lose. I always tell my students all the time, if you get confused about the book of Revelation, read the last part. You win. That's all you need to know. You know, when you read through the whole book, all you need to know is you win. That's the whole point. You win. You cannot fail. You win because Jesus cannot fail. And this is our reality. But Paul doesn't dismiss the earthly things either. He says very clearly, he says, so I want you to know how I'm doing. And of course, he's already told them how he's doing. He's doing well, in spite of being in prison. Tells them, but I'm going to tell you how I'm doing. He says, so that you wouldn't worry, and that's really the key, that you wouldn't worry, and that's all the time what we do. You know, they used to call me Little Rum because I was my dad's worry wart. I was just like my dad. My dad's nickname was Rum. They called me Little Rum. Because you sit around, you worry about everything. You know, you worry about it. It's like, well, what happens if this happens? What happens if that happens? You understand right away, we worry. Paul says, he's taken that out of the way. He says, I want to tell you how I am. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. He says, everything is fine. I sent Tychicus to you, and Tychicus likely is the one who actually did the writing of this epistle. He says, I sent Tychicus to you. He says, he's a loved fellow believer and a faithful service worker in the Lord, and he's going to tell you everything so that you'll know. He says, that you know what's going on with us, and your hearts would be encouraged. Now you notice that word, encouraged, given courage, that you would have courage. Because this is what we need. In every day, we need courage. We need to be encouraged. We need to understand who we are in Jesus Christ and to know. We need to have that armor on us, the panoply. We have half this thing. We have this panoply. We have this great thing. We have this great armament upon us. And we have the sword of the Spirit. And Paul says, as long as you've got that, doesn't matter if you're in prison, doesn't matter what's going on, you're doing well. He says you are doing well. So that you realize very clearly your hearts would be comforted. Yes, your hearts would be comforted. You would be comforted in your heart. Because the world is going to rage around us. That's just what it does. But the peace of God that passes all understanding keeps our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God encourages us. And because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, nothing can take that peace. That peace is ours. And that's why he concludes this by saying, "Peace be." And this isn't "peace be." It means "peace is" in Greek. Peace is with all the fellow believers. He says, "Peace is with you." The love that comes from faith, it is with you because it comes from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We greet each other with God's peace. That's not like Phyllis Barney once told me, it's not like a secret password. It's God's peace. We mean it. When we tell you God's peace, we're not doing it to identify us as some certain group of people or anything. We're greeting you as Christians. We're simply telling you, God's peace is with you. God's peace is with you. And I told you before, I love to do that out in the grocery store and all sorts of people, you know. I'll greet all sorts of people with that. They kind of look at me kind of funny. But I mean it. God's peace is upon you. The blood of Jesus Christ is in place. And if you will turn to him, he will deliver you, just as he says. He says that very clearly. He says, in the day of trouble, you call to me, I will deliver you. I will deliver you. It's God's peace. Paul says this peace is with all those who are in Christ Jesus. He says it's this love that comes from faith. And it comes from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, each and every one of us. And he says, grace, grace, grace. That wonderful five-letter word, unmerited favor, the pure love of God. He says, grace is with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity, in the fullness of truth, in full-hearted, all of those people who love Jesus Christ. Grace is with you. So be encouraged. Be encouraged and smile, because the reality is the love of God is within us. The love of God, the same Christ who died on that Roman instrument of torture, rose again, and your sins were forgotten. As soon as he rose from that grave, your sins were forgotten. God says, your sins and your iniquities I remember no more. Says, when that new covenant comes, he says, I am not mindful of your failings. I am only mindful of the blood of my son. And all I see when I look upon my world, and that's what Chartow was talking about, is this cross through the blood of Jesus Christ that has cleansed you from all of your iniquity. And you have peace. Because the love of God is yours. And he will never love you any less. And he could never love you anymore, because he gave us everything in Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Today is that day of encouragement, of peace, of strength, where we walk in newness of life through Jesus Christ. And by God's grace, we are encouraged. The armor is on us. And we live, not just in this world, but we live forever. May God grant that. By his word into the heart of each and every one of us, that when it's all said and done, we stand for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, because what else can we do There wasn't a thing that we could do. You did everything. You gave us Jesus, Father, and what more could we ask? You gave us everything in him. And you promise through him to continue to give us everything. You give us everything. And so, Father, we come to you this day simply in that way. There's nothing in our hands to bring to you, Father, but we come to you empty-handed. And what do we receive from you? The fullness. We receive the fullness. Even to the point where your Holy Spirit indwells us so that, Father, we may abide in your peace. Let your peace fill this church. Let your peace fill every church. Let your peace fill this world and bring people once again, Father, to the knowledge of the truth. Drive out that darkness through your word. Bring that light, Father, that people upon the hearing of your word would turn to you to be delivered, because, Father, you will never fail them. And we pray, Father, that you would make us instant in prayer, that constantly we would be engaged, Father, with that fullness through your Holy Spirit, to make the petitions that we need to make, that even we can't give words to, that he makes for us. That, Father, we would recognize who we are in Jesus Christ and act the same, that we're not simply hearers of the word, but also doers of the same. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege and every good gift. And we praise and magnify your name forever and ever, for you are holy and you are marvelous and you are worthy. And in every way, Father, we give you thanks. For Jesus' name's sake. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.